time, Jesus began to preach and to say it with him, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. What? I'm a Gentile. So I'm going to be very careful with Matthew. I'm going to be very careful if my eye offends me, not to take a screwdriver and pluck it out because I don't want to go to hell because if it offended me, if I'm better to enter into heaven with one eye. We're talking about a kingdom message. A kingdom constitution. The kingdom of heaven. And if you start spiritualizing these things, where do you stop? Go ye not in the way of the Gentiles, he's talking to the disciples, and into any of the city of the Samaritans, half-breeds. Enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's unfolding his plan for the ages. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of what is at hand? Rob, you preach on the streets out there. You ever stand up and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Roy, how about you? You ever say, guy at work, hey, the kingdom of heaven? You don't preach that message. You say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Matthew is presenting Jesus Christ as the king of the Jews. So I want to be very careful not to where to get my doctrine, where the Gospels apparently differ from the Pauline epistles, guess what I'm going to take? Pauline epistles. Why? Because those are the letters to the... And I'm in the church. I'm in the church. All right? Now, don't hyper-dispensationalize it and throw the baby out with the bathwater, but be very, very careful. Matthew presents Jesus as the king of the Jews. Mark presents him as a servant. He says, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke presents Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. 26 times the phrase Son of Man shows up in the Gospel of Luke, emphasizing his humanity. The humanity of Jesus Christ. And you can't get out of balance. You have His deity, that He's God, and that you have His humanity, that He's man. So we want to get that balance, and God balances it because in the book of John, reveals His deity. Look at it, John 1. Starts right out, man. Right out. Right between the eyes. And we'll start right in verse 14 just to get it right. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That can only be Jesus. Now verse 1. In the beginning was that Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is going to show his deity. Matthew, king of the Jews. Mark, servant. Luke, son of man. John, Son of God. So the Gospels present, listen, the Jesus then. The Jesus then. Jesus denoted as King of the Jews. Jesus, back then when He walked on the earth, viewed Him as a servant. Mark did. Luke viewed Him as the Son of Man. John as the Son of God. The Jesus then, behold the man. You know, Jesus the healer. Jesus the Savior. Jesus being baptized. The Pharisee ripping Jesus. The future foretelling Jesus. The crucified Jesus. The buried Jesus. The resurrected Jesus. The wait for the promise of the Father, Jesus. The no man cometh unto me, but unto the Father, but by me, Jesus. The go preach the gospel to every creature, Jesus. I'm talking about the then Jesus. But there's not a whole lot after His ascension. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'll show you the contrast in a practical, good practical application. And we've been over verses 1 to 3 to get enough potatoes that aren't even there anymore. But verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, being now, and the express image of His person, and upholding," this is His present ministry, "all things by the word of His power, when," the then Jesus, "He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said it He at any time, 'Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten thee'?" And I don't want to get into it now, but begotten can mean born, and begotten can be given a place of honor and exaltation. It's very clear when we study that. And again, "I will be unto Him a Father, and He shall be to Him a Son." Verse 6, "And again, when He bringeth the first begotten into the world, He saith, 'And let all the angels of God worship Him.' And of the angel, and of the angels He saith, 'Who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire?' But unto the Son He saith, 'Thy throne, O God, is forever.'" See the present ministry? See the now Jesus in this? "But on the Son, the throne of God is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Verse 12. "And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up." Now he's talking about His future ministry. "And they shall be changed. But thou art the same," present. "And thy years shall not fail." He's eternal. Verse 13. "But to which of the angels said He at any time, 'Sit on My right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" Now we learned that our doctrinal application in this book is these Hebrews that need to follow their faith through to the end, which is belief. But here's a practical application. The Gospels give the view of the then Jesus. Hebrews gives the view of the now Jesus. The Gospels is what Jesus did then. Hebrews is what He is doing now. And although it may seem trivial, it's really paramount in our lives. Because way too many of God's people never got out of the vestibule of salvation. They know the walking on the water Jesus. They know the healing Jesus. They know the death, burial, and resurrection Jesus. They know the baptized Jesus. But they never went any further to the now Jesus. Well, Jesus saved me, John 3:16, and you know, John 1:12, I'm a son of God, and you ought to let Him save you, and you ought to tell someone else, and tell them how they can be saved. Yeah, but what's He doing now? How do you relate to Him now in His present office? His earthly ministry was fabulous. But Hebrews talks about His heavenly ministry. Not His future heavenly ministry, His present heavenly ministry. 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." That's the Hebrews Jesus. The Gospels, His ministry on earth. Hebrews, His ministry from heaven. Now, for you that have been through the Bible Institute or have done any studying, we learn through Clarence Larkin and Dr. Ruckman and different dispensational teachers that Jesus Christ was in three offices. The office of, and I really stump you if I ask you, when was he in the office of prophet, when is he in the office of priest, and when is he in the office of king? And I think it's a good teaching, but I just want to tweak it a little bit if I can. Because the teaching goes like this. What does a prophet do? That's right. Speaks the word of God to man on behalf of God. And the teaching is that from Genesis 1 to the cross, Jesus was in the office of a prophet. He spoke the word of God. He was the word of God. Now, presently, and we'll learn this in Hebrews, he's in the office of a priest. From the cross until his second coming. When the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, then He will be reigning in the office as King. But you know what I'm finding over the years with these dispensational teachings? They don't go this way. They go this way. Example. Age of innocence. Is a child innocent? Age of conscience. Do you have a conscience? Romans, well, I hope so. Some of it's seared, but you got a conscience. So we say, well, God was done with the age of innocence. Then He dealt with conscience. Then He dealt with do you still have human government? Yeah, you still have human government. So we said, okay, when He was done with innocence, then it was the conscience. Then it was human government. Then it was, well, maybe it's this way. Anyways, not to confuse you, but let me tweak things a little bit. Office of a prophet, Jesus Christ. Has this office been obliterated? Does He still speak through His Word? Is He still the Word? Does He speak through His Spirit? Listen, today He's supposed to be in the office of a priest, so the teaching goes. And I believe He is. Hebrews is clear about it. But when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall come, who is one with the Father and the Son, He will convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, that's not the office of a priest. Doesn't convict. He goes to God on behalf of man. See? Does He speak through His preachers? Does He speak through His teachers? What about king? Prophet, priest, King. Well, when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, He will reign as King. But take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Let's run through here a minute. Matthew chapter 2. And I know the postponement teachings and all that, but just watch. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, saying, where is he that is born who? King of the Jews. I thought he doesn't take that office until he rules and reigns. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. I'm glad I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks. And Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Luke chapter 19. Let's go to Mark 15, 2. So we don't have to go backwards. I like to try to, if I can, put those things in order so we're all going the same way. Mark 15, verse 2. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering and said unto him, thou sayest it. You said it. You said it. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 38. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. If they took President Trump captive and hogtied him and put him in a cave in Syria, is he still the president? If the no Trumpers protest till they're blue in the face and reject, this is not our president, is he still the president? Now, the danger of this teaching is that there's a teaching, well, Jesus is king on the throne. He's overseeing the world. The church will spread the gospel and righteousness will prevail until the earth is so holy and righteous that he'll return and it'll be all set up for a king. Post-millennialism. No. But to divide it, prophet here and priest here and king here, now under the king eternal, this is a Pauline epistle. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. To the only wise God, our Savior, Jude said, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. As S.M. Locker said, he's my king. So Jesus is still speaking. And here's what I think about the king. Remember someone else that was anointed king but didn't take the throne? David, 15 years. Anointed king, didn't take the throne. Just like you're ready for a new body, you just ain't picked it up yet. Jesus is still speaking. He's anointed king. He's waiting to take his throne. But with that said, his main duty now is priest. Priest. He goes to God, whom he is, wrap your mind around that, on behalf of man. There is one mediator. What is he doing? To which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou here at my right hand? What is he doing sitting down? He's doing a lot. We learn Sunday, he's sitting down because his saving, the atoning work is done. But number one, he's a mediator. He's sitting there as mediator. Intercessor number one for the sinner. Intercessor for the sinner. You can only be a mediator if you are an arbitrator, if you are acquainted with both parties. And what better arbitrator, what better mediator to go between God and man, someone that was all God and all man? There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. At the right hand of the Father, the man. In the beginning was the Word, was the Word with God, and the Word was God, and He's still with God, and He's still God. But He's the man, Christ Jesus. And He was tempted all points like as you are, yet without sin. And if I'm in the union, He's who I want at my bargaining table. He understands what it is to be tempted. He understands what it is to be tired. He understands what it is to be forsaken. He understands what it is to be rejected, and he understands what it is to die. And at the same time, the same one enveloped in himself, he understands the demands of a holy, just, righteous God. How's that for a mediator? He understands the need for a sinless blood sacrifice. Not only is he my advocate being a man, not only is he God's advocate being God, but he becomes the very lamb that God required. I'm forgetting about that flood already. Woo! All man on your behalf, all God on his behalf, and he brings them together at Calvary. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 22, by so much more was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly, those other priests, were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There was hundreds of them. But this man, this priest, because he continueth forever, present time, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, watch this, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, to the guttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, fit us, holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And we could go on, but I'll wait till we get to Hebrews chapter 7 for that. He's a mediator. He's an intercessor for the sinner. Number two, he's an intercessor for the saint. Romans chapter 8. Al Cotton used to say, you're a saint, take off the S, you're an ain't. The S stands for salvation. I'm no longer an ain't. I'm a saint. Saint Joseph. Amen. Saint Butch. Saint Eric. Saint Mary. Me, she's a saint. You know, if you're good, me, he's a saint. I'm a saint. On my worst day, I'm a saint. Not a very good one, but I'm a saint. Romans 8:26. He's an intercessor for the saint. Now watch this, because if you don't get this, we're going to be done in a few minutes. 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's somebody that's Spirit-filled. Because we know what we should pray for. I'm praying I get this pipe cleaned out tomorrow somehow. I'm not one, should I pray for that? Or am I learning something in this trial? Forget that. But some of you guys and gals at the courting age, we know not how to pray as we ought. That's when you, when it starts really counting and mattering and you're talking life, you better be careful what you pray for. Now, I don't believe that God's sitting there saying, I dare you to pray for that because I want to mess your life up. I don't know what I should pray. You know, my dying mother is on her last breath. I feel bad praying, Lord, take her. Should I pray for? I don't know how to pray. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that tells me I've got some type of spiritual filter on my prayer if I'm walking with God. So that's the first tier of filter, okay? So I'm praying. Oh, Lord, I just want this. I just want this thing. I want to do this. And the Holy Spirit saying, and it didn't even get to the right hand of the Father. It's still at the Spirit level. Nope, we're going to oil that. We're going to massage that. We're going to change it. We're going to massage the data, like they say in the computer world. And now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for the saints. Somehow, I don't know how it works. I'll get to the point I'm making. But the Spirit, my prayers, are oiled and massaged and done right by the Holy Spirit of God. He presents them to the Son. And now the Son is making intercession. I got a twofold filter. I got a twofold blessing. And these prayers, I have no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Even saved, I can't get around Jesus. He's the mediator. He's my intercessor. Now here's the message. Are you still wallowing in the then Jesus? Or are you acquainted with the now Jesus? Is your main thing, and man, I get here sometime, oh Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Hey, maybe I'm past some things of the then Jesus, and I need to get acquainted with the now Jesus, the intercessory Jesus. Well, bless God, I'm saved. Glory to God, I'm saved. We're saved. We preach a salvation message every Sunday morning. I just keep going around. I'm saved, saved, saved. Hey, what about the intercessory Jesus? Jesus still in the saving business. I understand it. But the gospel Jesus, yes. But the Hebrews Jesus is His present ministry. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. And I don't want to use the word burdening, but I can't think of a one that fits. Are you taking advantage of it? Is there any weight? Did He have to go to work today for you? He's living, present. Well, I'm saved and I go to church, yes. But He's living today to make intercession on your and my behalf to the Father. I wonder if He's got a busy schedule today from the people in this room. That's why He's living. He wants to work on our behalf. Hallelujah. Do we believe in perpetual salvation? Isn't there one of the modern versions says, being saved? No, I am saved. I want to get this word just right. Saving you is what He did. Interceding for you is what He's doing. That's the Jesus of Hebrews. Let's not throw the book of Hebrews out. Amen. Well, that's for some other people, some other time. And I'm glad that Jesus then made intercession for the sinner. I'm glad that Jesus today makes intercession for the saint. And then another part of this is the last point. And I didn't write the passage. I'm sorry. I mean, at 6:20 and you're not in the shower yet. You are panicking big time as a preacher. I write unto you little children that you sin not. Don't sin. Stop sinning, would you? But hallelujah for the second part. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. My defense attorney. When the accuser of the brethren rise up, and I don't know, where's accuser of the brethren, that phrase? Is that in Revelation? But I saw way back in Job, I don't understand it, but I sure don't like it. When the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, Satan also with them. And he said, what are you doing here? Walking up and down in the earth. He's still doing that. We know that from Peter as a roaring lion. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? You looking to go after somebody? I'm looking for a little glory. I can trust him. He fears God. He eschews evil. He wanted to accuse Job before God. And he's wanting to accuse you. And he's wanting to accuse me. He's got a ministry too. And I'm glad that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And I'm glad that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And when the devil gets up and says, he deserves to go to hell for that. My advocate. Got the holes in his hands and his feet. Let's stand turn number 830. Amy, come and play for us on your birthday.